Hello, Internet friend. I'm David Ravel, and this is ValueSide for Wednesday, May 10. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit valueside.com. Well, today, it's a financial earthquake. Well, I have the somewhat dubious distinction of being one of the hundreds of thousands who lived through the Northridge earthquake of nearly 30 years ago. I grew up in Southern California, so I was used to large earthquakes, but this one was special. Not only did the initial jolt seem of greater magnitude than all the rest, but what seemed especially memorable was the aftershocks, those repeated bumps that come along after the initial quake. Adding to the drama, I remember the geologist told us that there's no way to tell whether that first quake was the big one or merely a foreshock of an even greater quake to come. So for the first couple of days after the quake, we sat out in our driveway waiting for what was to come next. We were without power or telephones, so we were left to anticipate our future. As it turns out, everything was fine, no major structural damage, and no one hurt or injured. Last week, you and I sat through another earthquake, one that promises to be at least as severe as the Northridge quake. Only this wasn't a real quake. It was a financial earthquake. And like back then, we will all sit out in the driveway, where it's safe, hoping that nothing worse comes along. Now, just a week ago, on May 3rd, the Federal Reserve Open Market Committee adjourned their latest meeting and announced to the world that they were raising the Fed funds rate to 5.25%, the highest rate since 2007. The feeling around here was ho-hum. Another rate hike? Following a long line of rate hikes, most people feeling that at least they didn't hike rates anymore. Unfortunately, almost no one understood the historic significance of what we just witnessed. To use our earthquake meme, what happened last Wednesday would register with the highest level earthquake ever recorded on the Richter scale, a 9.5. You see, the federal funds are special. They are the funds that are traded back and forth in the banking system, providing overnight liquidity so that the banks can meet their reserve or capital requirements. It's not unusual for a bank to fall out of balance without sufficient reserve capital to meet regulatory requirements. A large, unanticipated loan needs to be lent, or a group of depositors decide to withdraw their funds altogether. A drop in collateral value, all can cause the bank's capital to fall under legal levels. The solution? Take out an overnight Fed funds draw. This provides the bank with sufficient reserves and is a quick, easy solution to what is generally a fairly rare event. Because Fed funds are the shortest of all loans, they generally have the lowest of all interest rates, so banks can hit the Fed window without incurring an onerous expense. It is at this point that we see how different today's Fed policy is than at any time in the last 60 years. Now, for today's discussion, we will ignore Fed funds spike that occurred in the year 1980 when Paul Volcker's Fed first raised and then dropped Fed funds to tremendous highs and lows. So except for that year 1980, the historic trend for pricing Fed funds has always been to be below the inflation rate. In fact, except for that short blip in 80 and then again in 2016, the Fed has held Fed funds below 1%. So put another way, the Fed has held the Fed window wide open, allowing banks to cover any short-term losses quickly and inexpensively. This made the life of a bank financial officer relatively easy. For instance, last year if a bank needed $1 billion overnight, the interest cost was less than $7,000. Very inexpensive. Tonight, if that same bank needs that same $1 billion overnight, the Fed funds interest expense now costs $143,000. Quite a difference. Suddenly, the bank's entire profitability has changed. Whereas last year, the bank might have funded a large loan right away, knowing they could always cover their requirements by using the Fed window, now, they may need to cover your loan by other means, like adjusting their deposit base, and loans that might have been funded in a day or two last year now can take much longer. There's one other thing to note by looking at our chart. In the upper right-hand corner, you'll see that the Fed funds rate is currently 5.25%, now higher than the inflation rate. That's the first time that's happened in over 60 years. This Fed has taken us into territory we haven't seen in all that time, meaning that for the first time, overnight Fed funds will now be more expensive than the annual inflation rate. That's about as restrictive as it's possible for the Fed to get. Normally, economists consider a restrictive interest rate policy when the 1 or 2 year interest rate is higher than the annual interest rate. But today's Fed, much more restrictive than that. This Fed is applying the monetary brakes as hard as they possibly can. And what part of the economy will be hardest hit? Well, that's right. It's the banks. After all, they're the ones who use the Fed funds window. Now, we began this discussion talking about interest rates, but as you can see, most of the impact will now be on commercial banks. Perhaps we would better call the current Fed interest rate policy the Fed bank policy. For commercial banks, their entire cost structure is rising along with these higher Fed funds interest rates. How can we expect the banks to react? Well, they'll react the way they always have in tough times like this. They will cut back on the number of loans offered, lending standards will be raised, requiring better credit ratings by the borrower, and likely additional collateral also. Those credit card offers you get in the mail, they'll probably stop coming. Existing loans will be scrutinized, and any late payment or lower credit score will likely mean the banks will put you on notice. Some loans will be called, while others may require additional payments or collateral. For the overall economy, this will mark a fairly sharp reduction in business activity as well as in personal loans. This will inevitably lead to a sharp slowdown in the economy as both businesses as well as individuals move to reduce their debt. We've already seen the first stages of this with the substantial number of corporate layoffs. And the most likely scenario in this kind of credit tightening will be a general reduction in business activity. Now, there's a name for this sort of thing. What is it? It starts with an R. And that's The Value Side for Wednesday, May 10. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit us at valueside.com. I'm David Ravel. Value Side is independently written and researched. The views expressed are strictly my own.